The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 216. I am your host, Tony Polanco, and I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going? By the way, thank you for joining me for, thank you for one of you joining me for the playthrough of Resident Evil 2 demo.
Good Chris stuff. Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Brian Monjoma, Mr. Divinity Original Sin.
Grinter 2 is just that good that there's no way for me to tell Tony how good it is.
Brett Murdoch, also Mr. Divinity Original Sin Part 2.
The game is the butter game, man.
The butter game. And Mr. Butter himself, Adam Vale.
I'm watching you.
Oh, man.
By the way, I played that game too, so
Everybody
play that game.
What are you talking about? I ain't playing this shit.
I ain't played it.
What are you talking about?
Why? That shit's old. At least the first one. It's been
I don't know what Divinity is.
Divinity, come on now. Based on a true story, the shit is.
I don't know what the Divinity is.
I'm pretty sure a group of people went on an adventure somewhere during some time, and that shit went down. And they just recorded it.
Yeah, it was like Blair Witch Project, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. Yo, speaking of, I saw that in theaters down on Houston Street, and they promoted like it was live. I mean, it was real.
Remember what they, because at the time, this was even before it got released in the movie theaters. So when it was premiered at in New York on Houston Street.
It was at Angelica. Yeah,
it literally put it out like it was a real thing. Like they had like props and everywhere. They even had people standing in the halls like saying, hey,
remember
this.
Yeah, but what's crazy is right at the end, you start seeing credits, and the girl I was with, I'm like, I'm telling you, this shit is fake. Look at the credits. Look at all that. No. There's the people that had to help. I'm like, that's too many people there. There's too many people. This is just found footage. It doesn't take like 30, 40 people to do this editing. And then shortly after, we found out. Because remember, they even tricked the people in the town. Because they were putting up flyers of missing kids everywhere. So that part where they were interviewing people, the people were like, yeah, I saw flyers about this. Yeah, I think these kids came around. They thought it was real.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I want to give a big shout out to our guests from last episode, Robert Workman and Cicero Holmes. A lot of fun having those guys on. We had a really interesting discussion about everything that happened with Bungie and a bunch of other things. So thank you to those guys. And I know we're going to have what happened, Manny.
It was really cool to have him. I'm like, especially when that shit dropped, I was like, we had Cicero on there, and then I tweeted something with Robert there. I'm like, yo, dude, get Robert on there, man. We gotta get him in there.
Yeah, even though Robert, he was like, hey, I'm gonna be on tonight, aren't I? Robert kind of invites himself. See, what I like about Robert is he really makes use of our open door policy. Like a lot of guys don't make use of it. He does. He's like, yo, can I be on?
Well, you know what it is? Because some people just say it to be nice. Yeah. And then he was like, hey, yeah, can I be on? I was like, oh, you took that serious. about that. We'll call you.
Yeah. Hey, Robert makes my life as a host easier because he talks so much. I don't have to do nothing. I love you, Robert.
Yo, man. Yeah. Robert's always good to have on. If you don't have anything to say, he'll have something to say about it.
Exactly. It's awesome. So, yeah, thanks to those guys. If you didn't check out the episode, check it out, please, man.
Oh yes, by the way, let's also mention a little something. We had during that show, Robert and also Cicero gave us a little something for the fans.
Yes, they did.
We got a little something that going.
Yeah, so since I'm not fully prepared for it, what we're going to do is right now, we're going to let you guys know that we're going to have code for Vermintide 2 to give away on Thursday's episode. That'll be Throwdown 217. So look out for that. We're going to have two codes for this game. I played a little bit of it at E3. It was really cool. It was kind of interesting. It was like I don't know how to describe it, but it's set in like the Warhammer universe, I think. You guys probably know more about it than me, but it was kind of interesting what was going on there. So it's a sequel, so I'm assuming the first one did good. You know,
and then the Cicero thing. It's a game. I can't remember what game it's going
to
be.
Yeah, okay, that we need to hash out because basically, Cicero. Okay. I think you know, Carlos, you could fill in here. We're going to give away a game to one of our fans, courtesy of Spawn on Me, and Spawn on Me is going to give away a game to their fans, courtesy of Throwdown.
Yep.
Yeah, so we haven't dished out on the logistics of the whole thing, but I'm pretty sure we'll just buy a game for our fans in sort of like from Cicero and Spawn on Me, and then they'll give one to their fans from us.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or it's the other way around. I don't know.
No. It's like we're buying a game for them, and they're buying a game for us.
Sounds good.
You know, and yeah, we got to just hash it out, see how we're going to work that out. The logistics and all that jazz, man. All right, let's get into it, man. First one, Mr. G Megaforce is back, people. He took a break during last week's episode, but he's back, baby. And this question, hopefully we're not going to last too long on it because we've got a couple of questions to answer tonight, but this is a good one. I'm glad he asked this one. So his first question is, have we reached the cap of open world game size? Games like The Witcher 3, Red Dead 2, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and Skyrim have ludicrously large open worlds with more hours of content than many gamers are even going to play. Do you think we've reached the cap for how large single player games can get? If not, when do you think we will stop seeing bigger game worlds?
I don't think that we've reached the cap. I mean, Red Dead is one of the bigger game worlds that we've seen recently, and I think the key is like kind of fast traveling them together, because you can almost think of it as zones or mini game or micro games in and of themselves. So like you can go from one area to another area to another area to another area. They don't necessarily have to be a giant plane kind of thing, but if you make them big enough, you have to have fast travel. But I'd almost say that the issue isn't making them bigger. The issue is making them more intricate and more interesting at this point. Like, yeah, we've filled a lot of areas, but you know, I think the evolution has actually been more stuff. If you look at the older Elder Scrolls games, like, they were fucking gigantic, but there was miles between anything interesting. So I think the evolution is more making things interesting, and they're finally figuring out, and I'm seeing this going better and better in game design, where they're doing more things with subtly ushering and leading the players to places without necessarily need to put a big glowing sign up there. So I think level design and world design it's getting more finesse.
Yeah, I think he definitely touched on a point that games are getting bigger. Like Assassin's Creed Odyssey makes Red Dead 2 seem tiny in comparison. The game is gargantuan. It's literally the entire country of Greece, like back in the old days. So I was thinking about this morning, even before the question. I was like, so in like, let's just say, you know, theoretically speaking, next generation, right, when we're going to have bigger technology and stuff, better technology, you have an Assassin's Creed game set in Rome during the height of that empire. So that's going to mean continents, like how big is this shit?
I got diadems all the way out to Egypt.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like it's going to be, you know, it's going to be Gaul, you know, or let me just use modern, you know, countries: Spain, Germany, France, Italy, Greece,
Austria,
you know, all that, you know, pretty much all Western Europe, England, potentially Northern Africa, the Middle East. I'm like, how big can this shit get? Because when I was playing Assassin's Creed, I was like, okay, this is where open worlds are going. They're just going to get more and more fucking huge, you know? Well,
I think this is there's two things to look at. One is the technological limitations that can present that kind of map. And then there's the resource limitations. It's how long is a studio going to keep making assets and dialogue, actors, all this stuff to bring that world to life, right? Before you have to do an ROI and go, well, it's taken us 8 years to build this gigantic map that's the continent of Africa. So, you know, we got to sell this game now. So there's two factors going on. How long do you spend making that, and can the system run it, right? So systems are just going to get more powerful. PS5 and Xbox, whatever, is going to be more powerful than what we have now. So they'll they could support bigger maps. But do you want to make a bigger map?
That's the thing. I don't. I think to me, Assassin's Creed Odyssey is already my limit. That is too fucking much, you know. And I'm afraid that next gen they're gonna go even crazier. That's gonna make that game look small in comparison. That's too much game for me, at least, you know. So I don't think this is gonna stop anytime soon. I think you're just gonna keep going bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, you know. Even when it just cost four, I played fucking massive. Like I'm like, these games are just getting huger all the time, you know.
So but I gotta here's a fun thing for you guys. There's a game. There's a site called How Long to Beat.
Yes, good site. But the thing is that thing doesn't tell you about map sizes or anything like that.
No, it doesn't tell you about map sizes. It just tells you how long main story is, how long the main story with extras is, and completionist, which is getting everything.
Yeah, a little bit of a tangent there. But anyway, go ahead, Brett.
Yeah.
Chris is right, though. Like, that was one thing I was going to say. Beat me to it, because damn you, Chris.
I'm in your head, Brett. I'm always in your head.
You just live there, apparently. There's the amount of investment. I mean, if you get much larger, the only reason Assassin's Creed kind of works is because a large portion of it is just room to sail around, and that locomotion, that vehicle, tends to make it better. I think vehicles can make the world bigger, and they're going to need to if you want to actually feel like you're covering ground in a vehicle. But if you try and do too much more, it's just all going to become boring and repetitive and predictable. And I think if they do go that big, if they do go too huge and do, you know, the entire Empire of Rome, it's going to be boring as shit. You'll see people saying that. Be like, yeah, I mean, there's procedurally generated forts every 30 miles, but that's about fucking all.
Yeah, but again, that's just my fear. It's just going to get way over the top. Oh, Assassin's Creed Odyssey already, to me, is too much. I liked the game, but it was like, oh my God, this is crazy. Because, you know, to me, I don't really... It's not the boring thing I'm worried about. It's more about the overwhelming thing. You know, and a guy like me, I'm like, fuck, I need to do all of this, don't I? You know what I'm saying? This game took me 120 hours. How long is a game set in, like, Rome going to take me? You know, whoa. It blows my mind, you know?
This already kind of happened in MMOs. You know, they wanted to make the world bigger and make everything spread apart and slow down locomotion and stop, you know, make the world bigger in every aspect, make it feel bigger, make it take longer to do things, because they wanted to draw out the time for point between subscriptions. And eventually the community kind of went, you know, it's, you know, a huge amount of time between objectives. I'm having to run all the way back to a safe area, which is like 40 minutes. And at this point, I'm not even encountering other players or objectives. For the most part, I'm just running through the forest at 40 minutes at a time. Enough of this shit. Stop making shit so big and spread out. And now, that's the way that they say it. Stop making shit so spread out. So I think the big question here is, how big can you get while still maintaining content?
Yeah.
And as Chris said, you run into a limitation of resources.
Yeah, you do. Because not every game has like literally 800 people like Assassin's Creed games do, you know. But you know, the heart of the question is, how big can these games how big can they get, and will they get bigger? I do believe they will get bigger, but like Brett said, I think there's going to come a point where we're going to go, okay, this is too fucking much now, you know.
Well, look at the limitations of this generation. Most open world games don't have vehicle mechanics because systems can't really handle that. When you take off that bridle and you're like, all right, now every game can have a vehicle. You can pilot a starship or have a 4x4 or use motorbikes to get across the map. That's going to make the world feel smaller. So like kind of like a GTA is fucking huge, but you can get around pretty quickly. The reason Red Dead feels so much larger is because you can only get around on a goddamn horse. So you're going to kind of run into that a little bit too. As vehicles become more a part of gaming, world size is going to expand to accommodate that, because you don't want to drive, you know, a quarter mile down the road. You want to do some racing and some drifting and some rage type stuff.
Right. What about the rest of you guys? What do you say about open world sizes? Will they get crazier next gen?
Yeah, I definitely think it'll just be Yeah, I definitely think they'll get bigger, but I also think that along with how big they're going to get, I also think they're also going to get a lot more detailed, you know, whereas you get more variety of things. You don't start seeing the same sort of, you know, props and things kind of reconfigured around, where you actually see totally different looking things as opposed to the same, visual cues. It's like, oh, hey, that's the same barrel I saw over there. Oh, that's the same doorway. That, you know, in other words, it'll definitely get a lot more complicated.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else? I guess we'll see next time. Yeah, go ahead.
Pretty much just like, it's like, they'll get as, like, because we haven't answered how big they'll get. Like, they'll get as big as technology will let them. And since technology just keeps increasing in performance, it'll just no limit really to how big these worlds can get. And it'd be pretty interesting. Like, there is kind of, at least for a lot of people in this panel, there is sort of a saturation point for open world maps.
Mm-hmm.
I think for games that are massive MMOs, is a good sort of place to have like super, super huge maps. So I wouldn't mind them there. Yeah, so sometimes, like, for example, in Red Dead Redemption, sometimes it can get too big because there isn't really that much to do in some places. Brett mentioned Skyrim? That's like, there's like a lot of barren wasteland where it's like just nothing, no point to like sort of the vastness of it. To some extent, I kind of agree with that too.
Yeah, Brian, what do you say, man?
I mean, just agree with I think it was Brett. Like, they'll just be as big as the technology can allow them to be. I think you'll start to see more people throwing stuff in there that's actually quite cool. So, as Manny says, just less repeating buildings, because what you have to remember is that the bigger the size, then you're going to have one of two pathways. Either A, it's going to be lots of repeated buildings, because again, they don't have the time, they don't have the man hours to go through and put in everything so that it's different. Or B, they spend the time, make everything different, but then that means a lot more development time in progress. So I'm guessing that you'll see more repeating content in the game that have to come out very often. So your Assassin's Creed will tend to have lots of repeating stuff, whereas your games that take like your 5 years, 6 years to make, they are the ones that will tend to have lots of varying buildings. That's my guess. But in terms of how big they will, I don't think that they'll get too much bigger than what they are now. It'll just be like, hey, let's put more stuff in here. Like, let's put more events in here. Let's put like more mini games in here. Let's go deeper instead of wider. I think that's what they'll go for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if they get deeper, that'd be nice. Because right again, my fear is they're just going to go wider. Then you have like a puddle, basically, but it's like the size of the earth, you know. Anyway, let's move on here to the next question. This is an interesting one too. Does any company do pre-order voice messages anymore? Back in the day, Nintendo had a habit of contacting people who pre-ordered certain games via phone and hitting them with a special thank you message for being interested in the game. The only one I remember personally was for Super Mario Sunshine, which got me a phone call saying, "It's a me, Mario. Thank you for playing my game," or something along those lines. Does anyone still do that anymore? It was pretty cool personal touch that I've shamefully forgotten over the years, but it randomly came back to me. These could still be happening, but I don't know. Yeah, I forgot about those too until you reminded me, Mr. Mr. G McWars. They used to do that back in the day. Like, stores would call you or whatever, like, hey, you know, your pre-order is ready. I've heard about the specialer ones. I never got any of those, but I got like, you know, the store will tell me, hey, your pre-order is coming in or whatever, you know. Kind of interesting. So does anyone remember those like being a big thing? And the other question, actually, his makers is, do they still do that? I don't think they do.
No, I mean, you know, here's the thing. GameStop still gives you a call, but they don't give you automated messages anymore.
Yeah, but do you like, remember the example they, he's talking they used about, to be like Mario calling you nope. and stuff?
No, I never did that. But he I mean,
that was his buddy. That was his buddy pranking him.
Yeah.
That was just me. That was just me. I'm sorry. I just called you up randomly.
Yeah. He says that happened to him, and I've heard about it. You know, you get special.
I mean, you know, it's just, I feel like it's also like Adam, where he gets a bunch of the free shit from PlayStation. It's like they got the randomizer. They know that you support it. So they're like, all right, let's give them a little something special, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, but I've never had fucking Mario call me up. The only time
he had Mario call him up. You know, he got Mario on speed dial, you know.
Only thing I ever had, and this is just totally separated from it, but like in God of War, there's two different numbers that you could call in the game. Like, if you manage to destroy the Minotaur statue next to his throne in the first game, you know, you get a number that shows up on the screen, and it's like, congratulations, you found the secret thing. And it's like Kratos and David Jaffe talking. And then there's a special one if you got everything in the game.
Yeah. But that's the only thing. In general, they don't do anything special like that anymore, do they, in games? I could be wrong.
They do it via email. Remember, like, if you get the plaid, sometimes PlayStation will send you the message, or
man, I've
the
never Spider-Man. Gotten a single one of those.
I've never gotten.
Well, the Spider-Man one. I feel like everybody got them. I like, oh, they just sent me this image, and I got this cool theme and this whole thing. Yeah, they send.
Oh, no, I don't agree. I don't disagree. I've seen it myself, but I've never gotten it.
No, that's the only new method I could think of. That they're not doing the phone calls anymore. Now they're just sending it to your email. Well,
that's what I said before. Yeah. Like, the sort of stuff you're getting. I don't think everybody gets it, but I think a lot of people do get it. Like, I think I have a feeling that it has a way of telling who continuously continuously buys stuff for the thing, and they decide to give you fun little incentives, you know.
Yeah. It's like going to a casino, and the person that sticks around the longest gets free drinks and gets to stay at the hotel. It's like, why does he get all that? The guy wastes all his paycheck money on this fucking place. So that's why.
So let's give him a free hotel room and maybe a free drink at the
yeah. The goal is to max out his credit card, so we have to keep him as long as possible.
Yeah, the high rollers, you know.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's what they're doing to you, Adam.
Yeah, that's probably. I mean, Manny, remember Grandma? She used to go to Atlantic City all the time. I'm like, man, how much do they charge you? Nothing, because her grandfather would always go there, mm-hmm. and so eventually they were like, hey, we want you to come back. So if they missed a week, they got a free trip.
Yeah.
To go to Atlantic City for the weekend.
Yeah, because they know they make more money doing that sort of stuff.
Yep.
It's interesting.
All right, yeah. Man. Yeah. Incentives. Remember those things?
Yeah. Now there's pre-order incentives. Oh man, incentives where you give up your money. It's hilarious. Mm-hmm. Okay, I like this name. It's not sir, it is ma'am.
No.
Oh man, we're not gonna reference it, but you know exactly what that is. His or her first question is, are there any games you stopped playing due to them being too long or too slow?
I've never had a game. I never stopped playing a game that it was too long or too slow, but I have had reluctance in jumping into a game that I know is going to be time consuming. Like right now, I mean, I have a little bit more free time, and I kind of dread getting involved with Red Dead because I know how long the damn thing is. That's the only thing I've ever had.
Right, yeah, but you never, like, just stopped playing a game.
No, I've never stopped. I mean, have I ever stopped playing a game?
Yeah, you're like, okay, hey, this is too boring, this is too slow.
No, I mean, I've never, based on boring or slow or anything like that, like, I stopped playing Mad Max, the Mad Max game, not because it was bad, but is because of the same sort of reasons as the thing. It's just like I didn't want to rush the game. At the same time, I was also like, man, I'm getting really annoyed with these open world games.
Yeah, all right, I'll take that as an answer. I'm going to go down the line. Chris, what about you?
No, I've played games for being weird or just stop playing games for being weird or bad. Like, bad is like this, whatever Spy Hunter had the rock in it. I played that for like 20 minutes and I was like, this is garbage.
I think you rented that thing.
Yeah, I rented it. I put it right back in the GameFly envelope. I'm like, this is trash. And weird is like, anybody ever play Nobi Nobi Boy? It's like playing a drug trip, right? It makes no sense. There's no objectives or anything. I'm sitting there trying to figure out what to do with this elongated dog and what I'm like, this is ridiculous. I'm not high enough to play this game. I stop. But I never stop playing a game because it's like too slow. Like I always want to finish a game when they're at least if it's good. If it's a bad experience, like yeah, then I stop playing it. That's the main reason.
Yeah, Carlos.
I think I've used this example before, but Final Fantasy 13, because I played 20 hours of it and then I got into the game that I actually wanted. So I just stopped playing it because it was just too late for me. So I was like, yeah, like let me play 20 hours of a linear like corridor fucking RPG game. And then like I got into the Grand Pulse and it was an open world with a lot of different types of enemies and stuff. And I'm like, that's too late. It's too late to convince me to like this game. So I just stopped.
Isn't it funny how now 20 hours seems like nothing compared to some of these other games that are coming out?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you played, you know, Assassin's Creed Odyssey or Red Dead, you're like, yeah, 20 hours is just a starting point.
It's like Persona, 20 hours is nothing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's interesting how, like, back then, literally 10 years ago, or was that 10 years ago? That was more than 10 years ago.
Look it up.
Like 20 hours, I was like, that's a lot of game. Like, now it's like, yeah, you're just scratching the surface.
With the Division, that was 3 playthroughs.
December 2009, so
damn.
9 years.
Yeah, 9 years. It's interesting, though. It's like, you know, back then people weren't having it, you know, and now they're like, yeah, 20 hours, you're just starting. It's very interesting.
20 hours used to be that sweet spot. Like, it's like that. Like, if the game lasted 20 hours, it's like, damn, that's pretty good.
Think about it like this, you know, not to go off topic too much, right? The other day they announced that the story of the new Devil May Cry game, Devil May Cry 5, is 15 hours. Some people were complaining about that. And it's like, dude, that is literally twice the amount of other Devil May Cry games story-wise. Oh, yeah. What the fuck?
You know? I feel like there's a saturation point when it comes to certain games, man. Like, just, you know, it'll reach that point where everybody's like, oh yeah, I've already had enough. Come on, let's get this over with. Yeah. You know
but,
what I mean?
But again, the same people that are asking for all these hours are the same people that aren't going to beat the game.
Yeah,
you know,
man, I mean, RPGs back in the day used to boast 40 to 60 hour playtimes on the back of the box. Otherwise, they weren't considered worth picking up.
Yeah. And think about it now, like a 40, 60 hour RPG. What kind of shit is that, man? I'm not buying that. Well, I'll get it on discount. No, but
what's interesting, though, is as RPG elements have bled into mainstream gaming and mainstream gaming becomes more narrative, like the old RPG games, their time play or play times are extending to accommodate. I wonder if there's a correlation between storytelling and length or open world, which a lot of those used to kind of be quasi open world or have a large map, and time length.
That's a good question.
Because you know, those 12 to 15 hour experiences, like, we expected those to be like highly narrated, super cinematic, polished to the brim.
Yeah, no, you're right. Now it's like, oh, 12 hours. I'm not playing that. That's a waste
of my
time.
I'm like, at this point, I'm like, 12 hours. Oh my God. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm the same way, man. I feel you.
I miss the PlayStation 2 era of length games. You know, it's like, yeah, you had one of the action adventure sorts of titles, and they're like, you know, they're the 12 hour sort of deals. And then you got the 50 billion hour RPG. I'm like, yeah, okay. You know, you jump into now everything is 50 billion hours.
Yes.
Let me ask you both this, actually. Then, would you be happier if games were broken, not episodically like the Telltale games, but more into acts where it felt like you could put 15 hours in and then put down, walk away for a little bit, then come back and put another 15 hours in?
Isn't that what they do?
I don't operate like that. If I'm playing a game, I'm, you know, I guess it's related to the question, I don't stop until I finish it, you know, because if I stop playing it, I'm going to forget how to play the game in a week, you know?
So I guess this is where I'm going. So if you have a three-act game, right, and you could break it into three separate games or have it be one big game, would you guys really prefer it, and it's the same content, would you guys prefer to have three separate
acts? And each act, it's its own, like, like self-contained thing, right?
As like, much as God like of War 1 is.
Yeah, like, they're connected, right? You know, they're
connected, but how God of War is going to be a trilogy, but it's all one story, and each act is kind of self-contained, but they're connected. Like, if a big 100-hour game were broken up like that, would you rather have it as one experience or three games at about 25 hours apiece?
Yeah, three games, 25 hours.
Really?
Even 25 hours sounds fucking like a breath of fresh air, you know?
But it's the same amount of content. So you'd want to pay for the same amount of content three times instead of once?
What? That's not the question you
asked. No, he's you see, he got caught in the entrapment there, man. So
he's trying to trap me, motherfucker.
No, I'm trying to ask.
Essentially, he's trying to say, like, yeah, what if they took the game and what if they took a really, really long game and split it into three different parts and then essentially made you pay for each one?
I thought he was asking, like, hey, okay, would you rather have God of War 1, 2, and 3 in one package or divided into three? I'm like, no, I'd rather have them in three different things. I thought that was the question.
No, he's saying if you took God of War, the new God of War game, and chopped it into three different parts, you know, instead of three different, like maybe three different big events.
That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if they released all three parts of what are going to be the God of War trilogy, like instead of it being a trilogy, let's say they just released one gigantic, huge fucking game. You sound like you would like that less.
Wait, I don't understand his fucking question. I'm sorry, Brett. Okay, if I'm too ignorant here, I don't. What do you mean a trilogy? Because you have God of War 1, 2, and 3. They actually have the package.
The new one.
Okay.
The new God of War ends on a cliffhanger. It is not a self-contained story, but it is also a self-contained story. Okay? It is essentially one act of a greater story. See what I'm saying?
Okay, keep going.
Okay, that one act takes about 25 hours. So I'm saying, would you rather have three separate games at 25 hours apiece, each containing an act, or have that same content, the exact same content, packaged into one bundle, but it takes you 75 hours?
Wouldn't a game like that take like a bunch of years? Because I'm like, okay, would there be 2 years in between, like the normal development cycle?
Divinity is broken into acts, actually.
All right, I'm just not understanding this question. Anyway, go ahead, Carlos. What were you going to say?
So, for clarification, did it take anybody 25 hours to beat this game?
What, God of War?
Yeah. It took me like 16, 17 hours, maybe?
I was just
trying to go with round numbers.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you how long it took me. I mean, it took me a year to play the damn game.
How long did it take? I don't know. I really don't know. 15, 20 hours, maybe. I'm not. Unfortunately, PlayStation doesn't tell you how long it takes you to play games.
Yeah. You know? Some games used to put your hours in the save files. They didn't do that in this one.
Oh, actually, right. But Brett, okay, I think I understand. So let's say you have a completed game and you decide we're going to split it in three parts and sell them all to you separately. That's what you're asking about, right?
Well, the crux of the matter that I'm asking is the way the new God of War ends at a satisfying stopping point. If you had more content than that, but there was still a satisfying stopping point, so you could like stop and go do some other stuff and then come back without being like, what the fuck was I doing?
Does the quality change whatsoever?
No, it is the exact same content.
So I got the mic drop answer. Everybody settle down. Settle down. I got the mic drop answer. I'd rather go for the latter because you'd pay $60 for three games, essentially.
That's why I'm saying I can't understand why you wouldn't.
But I didn't say I wouldn't. I didn't understand the question. Understand? I didn't understand the question. I'm like, okay, if you're deliberately slicing up a completed game to three parts to sell it to 60, that sounds scummy. You know,
no, I'm thinking more along the lines of as with the new God of War. The new God of War is going to be a trilogy, right?
Yeah, but
like
the next God of War isn't out yet; it's still in development. You know,
theoretically, it would be done, and they would sell you all three parts at once. Like I've got
like a James Cameron movie.
Avatar? Is your aversion to gigantic, long, burdensome games more linked to the fact that there's not a satisfying stopping point, or is it just a psychological issue brought upon by the fact that I'm saying this is the end of the game?
But the ending and stopping point has nothing to do with it. It's not about that.
It's the actual length.
Yeah, this is the length. The stopping point has absolutely nothing to do with it.
And that's what I'm saying. So you would prefer less content delivered to you in smaller bites, even if it costs more?
I don't understand. How does that make sense?
Why would it even cost more? That doesn't make any sense.
You need to give me an example.
A grounded example. Divinity is based into three different acts. Each one could have been its own game and sold for a full retail price of $60, or at the very least sold for a full game with two DLCs. It is broken into three main acts, each of which comes to a conclusive story or a satisfying end, and then it picks up just like a book. Okay, each one of those acts could have been sold all by itself as its own game, but it's sold as one game, and the one game takes you like 150 hours to complete. So I, when Tony, when you hear 150 hours to complete, I know you're immediately going to be like, oh, Jesus, I don't, that sounds like too much. And same with Manny. And my question is, it's essentially three games worth of content put together. So why would you not want to play a game that is essentially a huge amount of content? Like, how do hours played, like, if there's 150 hours worth of content?
It also depends on the content, man. Like, you know, sometimes, you know, the gameplay could be incredibly fun and you could sit there for hours and hours and hours. But there, how many of these games do you see out there? They're literally just padding the shit out of them. Trying to reach they're trying to reach that arbitrary number that everybody has in their head for a AAA game that costs $60.
Yeah, hold on, Brett, just real quick. GZDR, he said a statement. Maybe this was your, because again, I'm very confused by your question.
I'm pretty confused by it.
Yeah, he goes, some people say The Witcher 3 has 50 plus hours of gameplay for $60. Brett is asking, what if they only gave you 20 hours of gameplay but sold it as three games for $60? Is that what you're asking, Brett?
It kind of, but I know that you're going to interpret that as they're splitting up my purchase into three, and I don't like that. I'm speaking strictly on so let's say,
who's winning that football game? Because who cares?
I guess what I'm trying to say is if there were there's a game that you love that lasts about 20 hours and it comes to a satisfying end, right? But let's say there was 100 extra hours that you never knew about. And that,
why would I not know about it?
My God, you're not good with theoreticals.
No, I'm not. Brad, you know I don't deal with theoreticals, man. You got to give me some real
shit.
Okay,
then let's talk.
Yeah, you got to solidify Divinity. This, dude.
Let's talk Divinity. You and Manny are probably not interested in playing a 100-hour game. Or 150-hour game.
Minimum. It depends on the game.
It depends on the game. That was 100. That was 100 plus hours. Red Dead Redemption game I played before that was also 100 hours. So, and the game I played before that was Just Cause 4, which was also 100 hours. So I'm not. I'm still playing these games. You know.
Well, let me ask you: if a game is too long for you and you don't want to go through the whole thing, why don't you just stop when it seems good to you and just pretend?
That's not the way I work, bro. That's not the way I work, man.
That's the crux of the issue right there.
That's not the way I work, man. You know, like I'm in this ride to win it, man.
Once you're driving down the street, you don't just stop because you don't feel like going to the destination. Yo, you're going down that road. You're gonna keep going.
Yeah, in for a penny, in for a pound, man.
This sounds more like. You have a plate and you always clear your plate and people are putting too much food on your plate. So instead of just stopping eating when you're full, you want everybody to have portion control. That's
no, what I want. That. I'm not advocating for shit. You know,
he's just talking about if he gets one meal, he wants to finish the meal. That's it. He gets his game. He wants to play it through.
Yeah, but I don't understand why you think I want this for everybody across the board.
No.
I'm always speaking about me specifically. I don't give a fuck what everybody else wants, you know?
I'm not trying to say you're imposing your ideas on people.
But yes, you just said that. You said you want everybody else's meals to be regulated. I'm like, no, I don't.
You want the meal size to be regulated. It has nothing to do with other people. It's the product that you want.
No, but I don't want it to be regulated. I never said that. I said I would prefer if they don't do that, but I understand the reality that people prefer these massive games. That's just the reality we live in. And when I go play these games, I'm just like, all right, Tony, just suck it up and fucking play it. Because that's how long these games take to beat now, you know?
But here's the one thing, like, you know, I think also the same thing, we you know, game companies run into that trap when they start saying, giving how long a game is. I don't remember hearing how long actually Spider-Man was, and I don't remember hearing anybody complaining about how long the damn game was either.
Tell the Xbox guys that they complain.
Well, because they don't got it, you know? I don't remember anybody who played it really saying, oh, yeah, this is too short or this is too long. It was like, all right, yeah, all right, we're done there. This is fun. We like doing it, so let's keep doing it. I mean, I feel like it got in and it got out right when it needed to. It didn't feel, you know, obviously, yes, the you know, Adam was having a lot of issues with those challenge things.
It was just repetitive. Like it was just more repetitive of challenging. But that was just me being optional because I was going for the plot. If you're not going for the plot, no one gives a shit. You don't have to do it.
Run to the story, get all the suit upgrades that you want, and then you're good to go. And I feel like that's a perfect scenario. I feel like a lot of these games nowadays, it's just a lot of it is just all padding. A lot of it is all padding, and it's like just to reach that number, like, oh, it's got to be 50 hours in order, you know, 50,000 hours in order for you to, you know, for it to be worth it.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get back to the heart of the question. Mm-hmm. Have you ever stopped playing game because it was too slow or too long?
I did. Persona 5. Okay. It's like when I kept seeing those days, day 25, day 26, I'm like, shit, now I have a job in this game. I have a real job. I don't want to keep doing all this shit, go home, go to sleep, make this phone call, go adventure, talk to this girl. And it's fun, but I just like, you know, I'm not going to be able to put in all the time needed. I really wanted to, though. It's a fun game. I just don't see it.
Yeah. Brian, what about you?
Funny thing, actually. I actually came quite close to it when dealing with The Last of Us. I just got really bored of how repetitive it got, because it just was, you go somewhere, bad things happen, and then you move on. Like, oh, you go to the Fireflies. Oh, they're being attacked. Okay, move on. Oh, you go to this, the Black family. Oh, they're now dead. Move on. Or you go to this, like, weird place in the middle of nowhere, and the cannibals. Move on. It's like, really? Like, is this all we're doing now? It was... when I got to the point with the bridge and all the cars, and I noticed that there were like two of those bloated guys, I was like, this better be the end soon, or else I'm going to stop this game, because I'm getting really damn bored of it. It's just a slog. I felt like I was just hitting my head against a brick wall, and just I was just not enjoying any part of it, apart from the presentation. Naughty Dog does really good scenes, I would have to admit that. Yeah. Last of Us was the closest I ever got, but in general, if I start something, I tend to get to the end of it.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Like, I'm having a hard time answering this question, so I'm going to go to Brett right now and see if I could come up with something. Brett, is there any game that you ever stopped or, you know, whatever, because it was too slow or too long? And you can give as many examples as you want.
Man, I'm trying to figure out what they mean by too slow, because I really like...
Didn't you stop playing Red Dead?
That's the immediate thing that comes to mind, but that was just because I got bored. I guess that's pretty much that applies. Yeah, I kind of felt like it was that same scenario where, like, go back to the camp, somebody needs a favor, go to a place, shoot some people, go back. Like, it just felt very rinse and repeat. It's like, I don't know, man.
But I feel like that's the issue with a lot of like open worldy sort of games. It's like, you go to the camp, you get the mission, you go out, you get the thing, you get the money, you come back, you do the mission again. You know what I mean? It's like
that's how all those games progress.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just getting kind of fatigued by the whole formula, I think.
Yeah.
And then and I guess this is probably, that's probably a good example. Like, I know with Red Dead, Rockstar was building this, you know, huge epic and everything like that, and as with any good book, like, man, if you're gonna, you know, I've recommended the Sword of Truth novels to many friends, and I've been like, you have to understand it's a 14 to 16 novel series, I forget the exact number, and each one's like 1500 pages, so the entire first book is pretty much fucking epilogue. Like, you have to chew through it. When you have a narrative that big, you have a shit ton of epilogue, and I get that. But, like, I put 20 hours into GTA, and I'm like, eh, shit still is not picking up, and I'm just got other shit to do. Red Dead.
Yeah, again, I'm having a hard time, because generally, if I start a game, even if I don't like it, I'm like, I gotta finish this shit, gotta do it. The only one that comes to mind right now, and again, there's probably a better example, but this is the only one I can think of. This is little indie game called Apotheon. I'm like, okay, this is gonna be cool. It's like a little Greek type of game and stuff. They got gods. Like maybe 5 hours into, I'm like, I can't deal with this Metroidvania shit right now, man. Like, you know, like, I just didn't want to deal with this, so I just stopped playing it. Even though I bought it, it was not for you and for review. I bought the game, you know. I was like, I'm good.
It's funny because I've actually completed that game, and I have all the trophies for it. I need to go back and play to get the platinum.
Oh man, but yeah, that's one. with indie games in general, I do that a lot. So I don't know if that counts. Like, I'll play like an hour. I'm like, eh, whatever, you know.
It's interesting. You're not like you're
with
not...
those games. I'm not. I see. It's funny with those type of with indie games. My rule of you need to stop, finish what you start doesn't apply. With those, I'll drop them at the like a bad habit. Like fuck.
But
this,
I mean, don't
want to deal with it.
But I mean, like you're like with those Metroidvania sorts of games. But I mean, like what if you know, what if you get like you know, a Metroidvania, you know, like, you know, Bloodstained, or let's say
Bloodstained is the only one I'm really looking forward to. You know, because yeah, I played so many of them. It's like every other indie game is either a platformer or a Metroidvania game. I'm tired of them. There's so many of them. You know, what's another one? But this was not. I guess it's slow. It counts. What's the name of that fucking game? Don't Starve. Trash. You know, I had to stop playing that. I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? You know,
you didn't finish Sea of Thieves.
See, well, you know, there's a reason
we didn't even really start that shit. That doesn't even count.
The Sea of Thieves, how can you even finish Sea of Thieves? It doesn't even have an ending.
Oh, here's another one. Again, these are all indie games. And Carlos, forgive me for this one.
Awesome Knots.
Awesome Knots. I'm like, what the fuck is this shit?
I can do it, man. I played 400 hours, so I made up for yours.
That's crazy. I played that shit for half an hour. I'm like, I'm done. This is fucking trash. You know, because I go in there thinking this is a side-scrolling Contra game, and then I learn about this genre called MOBA, and I realize I don't like this genre because of that fucking game. You know, so yeah,
it's okay, Carlos. I feel the same way about Don't Starve. Like, it's a great game. Tony's just wrong.
Yeah, no, it's trash. Trash.
Hey, it's not trash just because you suck at it.
No, it's not that. How can you suck at something that's not even a real game?
Because I played with you and I saw it.
No, you didn't. You didn't play with me. That game doesn't even have like any kind of like double player in it, does it?
Dude, you came in. Don't Starve together.
No, we didn't. I played that shit by myself. That game didn't even have that. I didn't even know it had double. I didn't even have two player until you just told me.
All right, then I'm thinking of somebody else. You're off the hook.
But you know me, I don't like those type of games anyway, you know? But yeah, my rule doesn't apply with any games. I'm like, fuck this shit. I'm done with it. You know, if that doesn't grab me immediately, I'm done, you know? Which is ironic because most indie games are like really short, you know? All right, let's move on here. I like that topic. That was a good one. Next up here, what games do you think will be sleeper hits this year?
What games do you think will be a sleeper hit? That's the thing about a sleeper hit. You don't know if it's going to be a sleeper hit. It's like, sometimes people... you know, I feel like you just look at the game space. You're just like, ah, yeah, that one's going to be the sleeper hit.
There's
the game of telekinesis.
Yeah.
But no, there are some games that you may be following that you think, hey, everyone's going to really like this when it does come out. You know, sometimes people follow certain indie games, you know, like Celeste. Some people I remember before were saying, yeah, this is going to be awesome. I was like, I don't think so. Still don't think so, but man, it won a shitload of awards and people praise that game.
I mean, Child of Light, I guess that would have been a sleeper hit, right?
Yeah, that's a lot of indie ones, is especially because those don't get that much hype.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, I think the sleeper hit usually has to do with something that's not like getting a lot of time in the, you know, time. I mean, here's the thing: could you consider Bloodborne a sleeper hit?
Yes. Sony didn't even advertise that shit.
They barely advertised the hell out of any of that stuff. It was all about the order.
No, yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. All right, so you know what? I'm going to cheat. Sekiro, that's going to be a sleeper hit.
Hmm.
I'm cheating, by the way, because that one's probably pretty much a guaranteed hit, you know? Because everybody loves Bloodborne in that studio.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Sekiro's going to have its fair share.
Yeah, it's probably going to do well. Here's the thing. I'm having a hard time coming up with actual hits of 2019, let alone sleeper hits.
Well, you know? like for something that I was thinking was Resident Evil 2 remake, but...
Oh, you already know that's going to blow up. That's
no, that's all right. Oh,
Chris, that one with the ship, the one from the Until Dawn.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, A Man of Medan.
Yeah, I could see that as being.
That could be one.
Yeah, that's a good example, actually. Yeah.
I could see that one because the true story of it is interesting. And if they could really do a proper interpretation into a game, it could be badass.
I'm calling it Control.
Ooh.
That's a good remedy.
One. That's a good one. That's a good example.
Yeah, because everybody forgets about it, but it's going to be so dope.
No, that game's going to be fucking awesome, man. I'm hyped.
And, that first trailer fucking got me hyped.
Yeah, man. Whew, give me that shit right now, you know?
What else is coming out?
Check this out. I like the okay, GZDR says Judge Eyes is going to be a sleeper hit. I don't know about that because people are already used to Yakuza games. I think that game's going to do well when it comes out, you know? I don't think it's going to be, like, under the radar.
Yakuza games don't sell, like, crazy, but they sell well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a sleeper hit needs to be, like, something that just really just surprises everybody, you know?
And it blows up. Like, it can't just be, like, a solid thing. Like, it has to be, like, surpassing a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Hey, Fortnite was a sleeper.
Yeah, that was a sleeper. Well, the Battle Royale one, that mode was definitely.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think your Control could be one. That one could blow up. Judge Eyes is not going to blow up. Let's just be honest. What else is coming out this year?
Division 2 is coming, but that's
guaranteed to be a success.
That's getting a million copies just from Adam.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
he's gonna be like buying 2 and 3.
That reminds me. Remember the bet that I said that if it does become a hit, I have to go down and get the tattoo over from Brett, and we're gonna film it.
Oh shit!
How far away do you guys live? It's a tattoo.
He's an hour and 62 minutes from me. I've looked it up.
Oh shit!
So two hours and 2 minutes.
Yeah, give or take. If we don't have a blizzard in between, because right now it's snowing. So,
ooh, an hour and 62 minutes. Come on, son. It's 2 fucking hours, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, yo, I don't make up the rules. It's Google Maps shit, man. That's how they do their numbering.
He's like, what's his face from Anchor Man? You know, he's just reading this shit. He's not even thinking about what he's reading.
You know? Hey, man, they're using the metric system.
Yeah, right? That's hilarious. All right, anybody else sleeper hits?
Yeah. I can't think of any.
Oh, maybe that that game by the guys who made Dragon's Crown. They haven't talked that much about that one.
I guarantee you that's not going to be a sleeper hit.
It's all of the mechs.
None of those VanillaWare games they'll ever do well. They do well, but not like blow up well.
They don't. I mean, granted, they don't have a lot of their budgets aren't insane. So
yeah, but then again, you don't need a big budget, you know, to make a sleeper hit. Think about that game everybody talks about, Celeste. That was a sleeper hit. Uh-huh. You know,
I know nothing about Celeste.
Yes, yeah, it's another indie platforming game, but people liked it. You know,
let's take indie games out of the equation to make it easier.
What's that?
I said we should probably take indie games out of the equation to make it easier. Nobody knows what indie games are going to pop off.
Yeah, that is true. But the problem is I don't know what games are coming out this year.
You know? Other than the big ones, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know,
Tony only knows when the big games are coming out when Sony does their press conference.
That's it.
Because you know, now you won't know. You're like, but what's this game?
What is this?
Who's this? Is you and I?
Oh, GZ.
Where's my copy of Game Informer? Shit.
Yeah.
Are you crazy,
I need to get with the times.
Want to hear something hilarious? I still get them.
I'm not surprised.
They still send them to me, man.
Yo, GZDR says Skull and Bones is going to be the Sea of Thieves killer. What's there to kill? That shit's already dead, you know?
Hey, listen, you know, it's funny, like, you know, okay, let's say that Dane does good, right? Then that will be the only pirate game that anybody ever thinks of. They'll be like, oh, well, you know, what about Sea of Thieves? Well, we don't want to talk about that one. It's all about Skull and Bones.
No,
Black Flag is the best pirate game ever made.
It's going to be such trash. People are going to actually be saying somehow worse than Sea of Thieves. Damn. That'll be the headlines.
Oh, wow. Damn, he's making throwing
bombs. Throw down, motherfuckers. All right. Let's move on here. Where the fuck are we? Black Metal Gamer. So his first question is, with Bungie now free from Activision, besides a new Destiny game, what other genres would you like to see Bungie work on?
I would like to see them not do another first person shooter. I would like to see them I know, but back in the day they used to make other games.
I want
to
see them
work first person shooters,
an indie platformer.
I know they don't own the game Oni anymore because that's a Rockstar game, but you know, I'd like to see them try some different genres. You know,
yeah, like what? Like what? What genres do you
table
like?
Table tennis.
The third person genre. Something like
there
that.
There you go. That's a good one. Table tennis, Adam.
I want to see my character.
Why
man.
Not? Why not? Rockstar's not doing shit with it. Microsoft's not doing shit with it. But like, you know, fucking grab something. Pull THQ Nordic, buy up some old shit that no one's touching and then just clean it up and make it your own.
Shine it.
Yeah. Put some respect on that shit and just push it out.
They should buy Dead Space from fucking EA because
there you go. There you go. See, that's what I'm talking about.
I want to see. Yeah, go ahead, Carlos.
I think they should make a story driven first person shooter game.
Oh shit.
They honestly like they haven't like Oni was what 19 years ago maybe?
What was that game that they created?
No, we've driven. Driven. Remember where it was? You were there. It was a story based, and there was no humans. It was just the cars.
No, their first person shooter game they made years ago. Marathon. What was that?
Oh no, I'm talking about
different. Marathon? Before Halo, was that
Marathon? Marathon?
Marathon. Bring that shit back.
Can you not hear me?
Like I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, man.
Manny was too busy hearing himself talk to hear your answer, Carlos.
I had to repeat what I know.
So yeah, like they haven't really proven themselves to make any other games in like the last two decades. So I don't even know if those same people who made Myth and Oni or even Marathon are still there. So I don't know. I would just say just stick to what you know, because like Destiny within itself is not a bad game, like mechanics wise. Like they still have some of the best shooting mechanics in all first person shooter games. So I would say just do another first-person shooter.
I was going to say just make a better Destiny. You're almost there. You're almost there with Destiny, man. You're almost there. Just make a better Destiny. Yeah, you just need
four more games. Four more.
No, one more. Destiny one more, man. The next one. Destiny 3 is going to be the butter game, man. It's going to be so buttery. Oh, you're going to have to buy that shit in a tub.
It's going
to
be the margarine. It's not happening.
margarine.
They can't do it. If they could have done it, it would have been done. Man. Think about it. If it could have been done, it would have been.
No, it wouldn't because Activision. That's not.
Oh, yeah. Keep blaming that. No, it's not happening. It's one thing. Say
this motherfucker's getting his checks from Bobby Kotick right now.
Sam. Because then remember we talked about before where they had to redo the game. Remember, was it the $60 expansion from Destiny 1, The Taken King? It was like, oh no, this is all the fixings. Everyone liked it. And it was like, all right, don't worry, Destiny 2 coming. And then people were like, oh, missed something. Don't worry, we got another version of that version coming. And then that's the one that just dropped. Also, full retail price. When you put something on its full retail price, that's a retail game. That's not DLC.
You know, but I'm not getting into that because we did that the other time, but I still blame all that shit on Activision. But anyway, I want them to do a rhythm game. Why not?
A rhythm game.
Man, I don't have any. I don't really care what they do. You know, I just make a better Destiny. That's what I want. Make a better Destiny. Because those shooting controls, I'm just going to correct what you said, Carlos. It is the best first-person shooting controls. Fuck that. I said it. You know?
Nah, man. Call of Duty. Everybody knows that. They've all copied it. That's why. So they know it is the best.
The butter controls, man. Destiny.
It is.
I said it.
It wasn't even the butter controls in Halo. When people thought that's all they knew until Call of Duty. Yeah, it's true. And then that's when he started Halo adopting like itself.
The epitome
at the,
first.
Yeah, at the time. At the time before Call of Duty came along.
Call of Duty shooting is pretty good, though, because Titanfall is the same shooting. Those fucking... excellent, you know. Mm-hmm. What else? Sleep. What the fuck was the question again?
Hell, even Call of Duty.
Oh, yeah, genres.
Bungie.
Bungie genres.
Third person multiplayer melee game.
Interesting. Yeah, they could do a party brawler. You know, their own version of Smash.
Well, they did. They kind of did it with Griffball, which is one of their.
Okay. I'm thinking they almost got pretty clear. There were times in Destiny where you got to use like a melee weapon or jump into third person. Like those were super cool. Yeah, like make a game like that. I know everybody wants shooting, but there's so many shooters out there, and nobody's actually really. I want that experience where I can just meet somebody in the wilderness and pummel the shit out of them. Give me that.
First person meleeer.
Third person melee.
I'm making up genres for shit that already exists. All right. Anybody else? Genres? Bungie?
Want to get into the Smash Bros thing. The little battle.
Make a battle royale one, man. What about that? Just get into that. You know?
Oh, please.
Oh, man, Bungie All-Stars?
If the next Destiny's Battle Royale, fuck that shit. It's over.
Hey, y'all joke. Is anybody going to play Jump Force, though?
No.
No.
I might try it.
No.
I'm interested because it's obviously anime stuff, but...
Yeah, I figured the One Piece would have hooked him. I knew it was going to hook Carlos. I figured it might have gotten
him. I'll try it.
No, I don't play anime games, man. You know that.
Yeah, they don't have a really good track record. That's exactly that's my thing with them.
I don't play.
Yeah, games. It's one of the it's one of those kind of cash grab Bandai sort of games. So
think about it like this: the only reason I picked up Dragon Ball is not because it was the anime, it's because the arc system works. You know? Yeah. If it was another company, I'm like, fuck that, I don't care. You know, when that game first got leaked, I was like, another Dragon Ball's game, who fucking cares?
And then that game did not fare well.
It did very well. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it did quite well.
It did very well. Yeah, it sold a lot. It's still being played. It's still being updated. It did very, very well. Yeah. It just got overshadowed by us because we were playing Monster Hunter at the time, you know?
Man, yep.
The butter game, you know?
The real butter game.
All right, man. Moving on here. Okay, what are some of your favorite games that either are or considered tech demos, and which ones do you feel really showed you the potential that the console would have to offer? So this is interesting. So it's a tech demo game that showed off the game's the console's potential.
The bouncer. That was literally one of the tech demo games that they used to show off the graphical power of the PlayStation 2.
You know what my answer is going to be, right? My favorite tech demo game. I'm going to say
The Tetris. Order.
The Order.
The Order. Yeah. I would agree with The Order.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Another one. I'm forgetting the name of the fucking game now. Enslaved Studio made it. It was redhead girl, PlayStation exclusive.
Heavenly Sword.
Game used every functionality of that controller. That was a tech demo game in that sense, you know.
Lair, remember Lair?
Yeah. Oh, that was not a good example though. Hey, Torrance likes it though, so that'd be his answer.
Yeah, but Torrance likes Bank or not? Dark Void. There you go.
Was that a tech demo game?
No, that was a horrible game.
No, it was just a really bad Uncharted.
Yeah. Oh shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Heavenly Sword. That was a good tech demo game, but yeah, the Order 1886 is like the epitome of a tech demo game. To be honest.
Oh yeah.
You know, it didn't use the six axis stuff though. It should have.
It was one of the ones that was literally just saying like, I think what was it? How when did that come out? Like the second year, right, of PlayStation 4.
The same year as Bloodborne.
Yeah, 2015 then, yeah.
2015, yeah, so the second year, right? At that point, before that point, everybody was saying, hey, you know, this next generation is not looking that much different from the last one, right?
Yeah. It's crazy. All right, what about the rest of you guys?
Am I remembering incorrectly that Jade Empire was, for some reason, hailed as a technical showcasing game?
Probably, but I wouldn't consider that a tech demo game because that's like a fully realized game, if you know what I mean. You could have a fully realized thing. Yeah, like
Rage. Yeah. I would consider Rage a tech demo game.
You know what? Yes, you're right, Brett. I agree with that. That's a full game, but it is a tech demo game. Yes.
What about and we talked about this earlier? Sea of Thieves. Like that shit showed up. I don't know. Maybe like just water? The water graphics.
Yeah,
the water graphics were amazing in that game.
I mean, if you're gonna go down that right, then No Man's Sky. That's a good tech demo. How is that bad? That's a good example. Like the randomly generated planets and stuff and the different ecosystems. That's pretty impressive.
Because it didn't work.
But it did work. What are you talking about? Like the game failed because it didn't have a good story, but like the actual like shit it does, like you could like, you know, go into water and then go into land and then fly into the sky and go into another solar system. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, the game failed because it delivered on roughly half of its promises.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that, but I'm not saying the game is good. I'm saying that is like a technically impressive thing they were able to do.
What were they showing off? How to disappoint an audience?
No, you're not understanding what I'm saying. Like, what other game? You know, I never played a game that let me like, hey, I'm on the ground, I'm gonna go into fucking space and go into another solar system. Now, I never played anything like that before. That was pretty impressive. I'm just trying to be objective here. The game is not good. All right, I give you that, but you got to give it up when you got to give it up. You know.
To be fair, Elite Dangerous did it first.
Yeah, yeah. But I never played that shit. So to me, it was No Man's Sky. You know.
No Man's Sky again. The tech that they were trying to do was impressive. However, no. It's just more of a theoretical thing. Like, hey, this is possible.
And you mean but it doesn't tech turn out well. Demo?
That's what it is. It's a tech. It's a demo. Yeah.
Did the tech really work that well? The procedurally generated planets.
But then you could say the same thing for any game that has procedurally generated levels. It's just that on a larger scale.
Yeah, but not all of them let you go from planet to space to other solar systems. That's what I'm saying.
That was just a fancy transitional effect. It changed into more of a galaxy map fairly shortly after that. So you got to go into the stratosphere, and it looked fancy, but you could see the smoke and mirrors pretty easily.
You're still impressive to me. Who else here didn't go? Chris, favorite tech demo type of game?
Shit, I can't really think of one that you guys didn't mention. Was Lair a tech demo?
Yes.
It wasn't my favorite.
Yeah.
But it was there. It's for that what the hell did six axis.
It's for six
it was
axis.
A six yeah. axis tech demo.
I wanna also insert Minority Report.
Breaking glass?
Yeah, for breaking glass and ragdoll physics.
Oh, the ragdoll.
Oh my god, that game was so hilariously fun. I just threw everybody through all the glass. It's just
right, anything else? Any other tech
would
demo
the first
games?
Gears of War be considered a tech demo?
Oh, no.
No,
Chris, I see where you're coming from. I see where you're coming from. Yes. Visually,
the roadie
visually,
run.
Yes. Visually, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It gave us that roadie run. That was the first time anyone's ever seen
it.
Yeah,
but it was
course.
It was more graphic. You never saw graphics like that before. Like, that shit was not Killzone 2. That shit was
But they didn't show it off at launch. It wasn't one of the launch titles to say, hey, look what we can do.
Yeah, it was. It was the second year. It was the second year. You're right about that. Fuck am I? 2 years laterwards. 2007 is when it came out, right?
2000.
Yeah, but up until that point, no current gen game of that gen looked that fucking good. So that in that sense, it's like, hey, look what Unreal could do. So in that sense, visually, it's a tech demo. So I agree.
The best tech demo was table tennis. Yeah, Rockstar table tennis. No joke.
No, he's right though. No. That's a tech demo.
Remember, Rockstar was showing off the physics and how you could see the sweat on their shirts over time, they would put stains.
Right. That is a tech demo game. Yeah,
that was a tech demo.
Gears of War was 2006, and I got one. Brett.
Yo.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Portal.
That's I was wondering game. If that counted, because that is – but it didn't show off that it was PC, so I didn't know if that counted because it doesn't really show off console tech.
No, but it does show off crazy-ass, physics stuff.
The way their portal system works, where essentially it can link two different areas from two different, two different areas from two different sides of a map.
It
literally started as a tech demo, and then they threw the game on top of it.
Exactly. I got one, Chris. So you could both agree with me and help me out with the name of this. It was a PlayStation 4 launch game. It was like a side-scrolling shooting game. It had crazy fucking...
Resogun.
That's a tech demo game. Voxels, Brett, your favorite, you know?
I do love me some Voxels. I got another one. Dead Rising.
Yes.
That was a launch.
Yeah, not the Wii version.
The Red Ring of Death. That was killing people.
Yeah.
It was that game because that's when people were noticing. It was like, yeah, it died on me. It was getting really hot and loud. It was like, yeah, me too. Yeah, me too. It was like, oh, shit. And then that was it.
It's a board that game. Rendering 700 zombies.
That's it. Exactly.
GCDR says Mag. Yeah, 256 players at once.
Yep, Mag.
I don't know if it worked exactly like that in the end, but that, that could have been something.
I wouldn't say it was one of the favorites, but I would also say Knack was also
that's a tech demo game. Yeah,
tech demo game.
Yeah,
it was an Unreal tech demo game. So it's essentially to show how many of those little particles that they could could render and stuff like that. But yeah,
little Big Planet count.
Little Big Planet.
Yes.
Because of the way you create the worlds and stuff. Yes, that counts.
The play create sort of thing.
Did you say Crackdown 3?
I'm pretty sure.
I mean, for the destructible environments they were going to be doing, that they said they were going to be doing. Yeah, maybe. But I feel like it's kind of far gone now.
No, let's.
Oh my God, Manny! Red Faction. I can't believe I almost forgot Red Faction. Thank you.
Oh, Red Faction, Gorilla.
You're welcome. I wasn't even thinking of Red Faction, but yes,
I brought that up before. That was when they were blowing up walls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's or Black, if you want to go that direction.
What's that game called? Was it Homefront? Was it Homefront?
The one with the Koreans taking over America?
The one with the destructible environments.
No, that was Red Faction. Yeah, Red Faction. And then Bad Company.
You mean Battlefield?
That company. Yeah. That company did.
Oh, I don't have a good game.
GZ Eater says PlayStation Home. What was that? A Tech 4 deck demo for?
It's more like a beta for.
They were trying to do their Second Life.
I heard a rumor that game was actually developed by EA in the DL.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hip Hop probably still swears to buy Home.
Yeah. Right. Hey, they had the Hip Hop Gamer Bell in there. You know.
You want to hear something funny? Like, speaking of Home, I do have one last remnant of PlayStation Home on my Vita. Apparently, in PlayStation Home, you can play all these little arcade games that are spread out through the game. And then they had a game for PlayStation Vita where you can replay all those games that you've played before. I still have it on my console. So I still have one last remnant of PlayStation Home.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Any other games, tech demo games?
Yeah, I can't think of any.
All right.
Nah. Panzer Dragon? I don't know.
Nah. All right. Moving on here. Mental Ward 69. What's going on, man? That's a new name.
That's a new name.
Yeah. He goes, what do you guys think about the overhyping of games, specifically the announcing of games before even a single line of code is even written? Is this helpful or hurtful to the industry, in your opinion? Very interesting, deep question there.
It's stressful. I'm sure for the developers, stressful. It's like, fuck, now we have expectations to live up to. Shit.
Yo, I mean, Carlos, where's the agent, son?
It's not a new trend, though. It's not a new trend,
But he's not asking that. He's asking, is it hurtful or, you know, is it good or bad?
I don't know, because, I mean, to be honest, it's like, okay, we've been there for all these sorts of announcements where we're like, you see, like, stuff like, you know, Crackdown 3, what we talked about before, where they're like, yeah, we talked to them about it, and they're like, yeah, game's not even really started yet. We just wanted to put it out there.
The Last of Us 2, same thing. Remember when they said all those little video that they did? None of that's in the game, they said.
None of it's in the game. It's just a trailer. It just exists as a trailer. So, I mean, it's just interesting because it gets people interested in it. But I also think especially when it starts running over a certain amount of time when you're kind of waiting for it, which, you know, let's talk about in the case of Death Stranding. I mean, he literally announced the game the year after Metal Gear Solid 5 came out, right? Something like that. I can't remember. Anyway,
it wasn't too far off. Yeah,
it was like literally that, and they didn't even start anything yet. He just did. He just created this trailer of this Norman Reedus trailer, and that's it.
Yeah, and now like every other press conference, we're getting some news about Death Stranding, and it's like it just keeps building and building the hype.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't think that's fair to the game.
I feel I kind of like the idea of it just kind of coming out of nowhere, man. Like. I keep going back to the year that Bethesda's just like,
yep.
Oh, by the way, Fallout.
Like 2 months.
In 2 months. What? It's like no lead up, just like boom. Yeah. Oh yeah, new Fallout. When's it come? 2 months.
It's crazy. Yeah. Like I don't know why they don't do that. I guess obviously like sort of they try to get people hyped and maybe investors have something in that as well. But yeah, like something like Death Stranding or like, for example, The Last Guardian, like I don't think The Last Guardian even people were just lost hype because I don't think it sold as well as like it was hyped up to be.
The sad thing about it
sold as well as any of the other games from that studio as expected. They definitely took too long, too fucking long.
Team ICO games don't, like, as critically acclaimed as they are, they really don't, they do as good as they are going to do. Granted, Shadow of the Colossus is probably their biggest hit, you know, in all of their,
I think Last Guardian is now their biggest seller.
Yeah.
But yeah, but no, it really doesn't that much. Yeah, no, they're not. As for the question, I don't know. I don't really know how to answer this one.
It's a weird double edged sword because sometimes sometimes you feel like, you know,
the thing is you need to go out there and promote your game, right? But I think there's a balance. Like if you promote your game like a year or two up, that's fine, right? Because you want to build hype, you need to build hype. But at the same time, when you're taking 5 years, then that hype that people have, it starts draining away. Go ahead, Chris.
I think we would need a couple of examples of something that was hype before there was any code, anything laid out. Like, I know Smash Brothers Brawl was one of those games.
The new Metroid.
I guarantee you they haven't even started that shit yet, you know?
Yeah. So, and also that other Pokemon game that they announced where the direct just before that E3 was so ill received that they put out an apology video like no we're working on a real Pokemon game, we swear, like, you know,
the worst like, part we'll get right on a video.
Yeah, right,
we'll double our efforts.
But like Brawl is like the worst received Smash Brothers game, and like that did not work out at all hyping that shit before it was even started.
Yeah, like wasn't it that, you know, the president of Nintendo? Yeah, he was talking about
Iwata it before. Yeah, Iwata went up on stage and said, "Oh yeah, we have a new Smash Brothers coming for the Wii." By the way, he didn't tell Sakurai; he found out like everyone else.
As the trailer happened. Yeah, there's actually a really good Iwata asks about it, you know, from a time.
That's an example of it not working out. It's kind of trash in terms of Smash Brothers game.
But it had Snake in it.
It did have.
Kristen says, "Got to give Capcom credit for how they released Resident Evil 7. Came out of nowhere, launched on time 6 months later. That's true. And remember, that was a good demo too. Like the kitchen demo, people know what the fuck that was, you know.
We saw it was PT. Yeah. Remember, everybody was like, "Oh, this is PT."
I also really liked the way they did a Resident Evil 2 remake. They announced that game years ago, like maybe 3 or 4 years ago. They didn't say shit after that. Like, "Oh yeah, we got that coming." They didn't say nothing. And then at E3, bam, you get this trailer out of nowhere, fully formed. It's like, "Oh yeah, you get this shit in 6 months," you know. And people are hyped as a motherfucker. I know I am. You know, so I like that. Here's the thing, not to derail it too much. I always had a problem with the way this industry is so hype focused. Like, basically, we talk about games like crazy before they come out. Once they come out, the conversation's over. We're on to the next game. You know, so that's a big problem that this industry's always had. And I know some sites have tried to address it, and they could not get over that. Like, that's just the way the machine is built at this point.
Didn't Polygon or Kotaku try to do that?
They tried to do that years ago. It didn't work because that's not the way the industry is built. It's all about hype. It's all about getting people excited for the game. Get those pre-orders in. But once the game comes out, that's it. The shit is done. You know, which is odd. I'm like, you figured the conversation would start once the game is out in people's hands. You know, so all you get from games is a bunch of speculation, a bunch of hopes and wishes, and then the game comes out, conversation's over. We're on to the next thing.
Well, I mean, the conversation, then everybody's talking about how amazing the game is, then they feed it, and then that's over. It's done, right?
Yeah, it's interesting. But so in that respect, it hurts the industry, right? But at the same time, hype is good too, because it is cool to get excited for things. But again, they need to follow through on those hypes, you know, on the promises and all that. Some games do it, some games don't, you know.
I feel we see that with movies too, especially movies with too. Marvel and all those. We see it's like coming soon. When? Don't worry.
The end of the movie teases the next movie.
Oh yeah.
Now
I feel like they everyone took that from Back to the Future. Remember Back to the Future did that?
Oh yeah.
And especially with part two.
But what about James part Bond three? Movies? James Bond will return. You know, they used to do
every James Bond movie said that. James Bond will return.
You know? What about the rest of you? Brian, I'm going to go to you. What do you think about? Because I know you don't like, you know, the whole hype culture of the industry.
Oh, the hype culture is just dumb. A bunch of people getting hype with nothing. But anyway, I want to address what you said, Tony. Do you think that that's why games are getting longer? Because they see that people, they talk about the game before. And then the game's out, and then no one talks about it again. So maybe they make it longer so that you can keep talking about it for longer after the game has launched.
That's a good point. I didn't even think about that. You may be onto something there, man. You know, it's like, hey, how do we keep people, like, think about it like this, right? Like, with a multiplayer game, people are going to keep talking about it because it's a multiplayer game. But for a single player game, how do you keep people talking about it? Make it really fucking long. That's a great fucking point.
And I just had that, like, right now when you said that. So I'm like, huh, we just had it. You talk about games being made longer for no reason. Like,
look at this shit, man. We're tying the first question and the last question together, man. That's how we do want to throw it down. No, Brian, I think I need to chew on that because that's crazy. You're blowing my mind right now, you know?
And it makes sense. Like, if they spend, like, 4 or 5 years on a game and then people only talk about it for, like, the first two weeks afterwards, and then, okay, what about a month afterwards? Like, okay, you know, put in more content, make DLC, make the game longer for no reason, you know, like, have tournaments, have updates. You know, keep that discussion going.
I need to think about that one. I need to chew on that one right now, man.
But in terms of hype, I think it's always better to not do that. So only talk about a game when it's like at that point where it's like done. Because at least then you can talk about the features that the game has rather than be stuck in the No Man's Sky situation where it's like, hey, this game will have this promised feature, and then it not turn out. Then you create levels of expectation that don't get filled. And then the counter of what Tony has said as well, you can create that situation where the game just comes out of nowhere. You know, it's like you just be there just one E3, and then suddenly, boom, Resident Evil 8. When? Next week. Like, what the fuck? You know, like, just take everyone by surprise. Like, no one will see it coming. But that's why I think it's better to do it that way. And that's also one of the reasons why I just got really annoyed at Death Stranding, because it's like...
You got really annoyed at it.
It was nothing. It's like, okay, so they just announced that they're making a game. And suddenly everyone's excited, like, it's going great because it's Kojima. It's like, we don't even know what genre it is yet. Like, we've not seen anything. We have seen bloody characters. Like, Kojima just walked on stage and says, we're making a game, and then just walked off. Like, how does that get you excited for anything?
You realize that Death Stranding was announced at the same time as Spider-Man was first announced. Same thing. Like, literally, I think after Death Stranding was the Spider-Man trailer.
It just makes no sense. Like, okay, he's making a game. What genre is it? What do we know? Do we know the characters? Do we know motivations? Do we know anything?
Kojima.
Like,
you know they were. You know they were totally taking advantage of what of the obvious thing that was happening right up in people's faces.
Mm-hmm.
You know that whole trailer is a total friggin' troll for all the shit that people know about what was going on with Kojima.
It's a metaphor.
It was a total. It's like first, it's like, oh shit, is it? What is it? Kojima game. Norman Reedus, that's what they were. They wanted that reaction.
Wait, hold on, Glorious War said Brian is getting angry at other people's joy. How? What the fuck?
No, I'm just saying, like, people are just getting overinflated over nothing. It's like, okay, you get excited because it's Kojima. Like, but why are you excited? Like, he's not announced anything yet. Like,
Kojima has a track record. That's why, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think the only reason why that sort of situation works is because all this shit was happening to an obviously well-known person in the game industry. It was all their dirty laundry was all sitting out there for everyone to see. So obviously, to take advantage of that, what was literally a year before, you know, not even that long before. I think it was in 2015 or something like that, or whatever the year after, he literally was let go, and then it was only a few months later, and then all of a sudden he's at E3 announcing a new game.
Yeah, because that whole Kojima drama was still fresh in people's minds, you know.
So yeah. they were totally taking advantage of that.
Yeah, but you know, again, even I'm at the point where I'm like, listen, just put the fucking game out already. But you know,
as a situation where people just get bored of like the constant updates of like, Death Stranding, it's coming out when? Oh, it's coming out when? It's coming out when? Like, the fuck, just release it. Like, it creates that atmosphere. And
I think it's just
a dumb atmosphere to have, and it's easily preventable. That's the thing. It's something that you can easily prevent. Look at Fallout 4. Literally just said, hey, it's coming out in 2 days. And boom, it's out. You know?
Yeah.
There's none of this like, oh, people are like, oh, when is Fallout 4 coming out? Like, when are we getting the next new thing? We didn't know because we weren't told about it.
But what was it? We heard about something like this not too long ago by the guys that did that the Mega Man game, the spin-off one, the what was that?
Oh, number nine.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, remember? And they did that to get investor hype, and the same thing with Shenmue. Is to get that investor hype. So if they like, hey, look at all people that really want it. So can you give us some money so we can make that shit?
Yeah, I think that's a little bit of a different situation. But you're right about mm-hmm. that. You know, like they need to generate hype in order to get investors in. You know, those public whatever the fuck. You know,
well, just to prove to them that there is an interest and a demand.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Crowdsource. That's the word I'm looking for. I was gonna say those public games. yeah, made them public games. My man Glorious, where he goes, don't be annoyed for other people, just forget about and play when it comes out. He's saying that to you, Brian.
That's what I do though. Like, look at this, is that's exactly the reason why I wasn't on the Throwdown End of Year Awards things, because I played no games that came out last year, because I was like, nah, I'm not gonna get caught up in the hype. I'll just ignore the hype.
Wait, and play later. Play the Need for Speed, wasn't that last year? Wasn't that last year?
The year before. Payback? I got the platinum in January.
Brian, he's calling you out.
Uh-oh.
He goes, Brian, you don't play games day one anyway. Why do you care when games come out? Damn.
I don't care when games come out. I'm caring when games get announced. I'd rather that they are announced within a reasonable time period, which I think is roughly like 1 year prior to launch. That way, I know what the hell is in the game, rather than the game developer doing a No Man's Sky. It's like, hey, this is in the game. Promising features that don't exist.
He says you shouldn't care since you're not buying these games day one anyway.
I'm still going to buy the game at some point in time, so why is it when I purchase the game a problem? Again, I care about what features are in the game, hence why I'd rather when people talk about a game, they talk about what's in the game. That's why I care.
He expects you to go like this whenever the announcement happens. No, 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 no. I'm not listening. Not listening.
You know, yeah. Like Metro Exodus got announced. Again, I knew it was coming at some point in time. But then I was like, okay, cool. Like, they told me like what features. They had a nice story trailer which showed off like what's going to happen. They talked about the emphasis on having more hub levels and having a train that connects the worlds together. Again, that's how you do it. You know, you announce a game, you talk about the features, and now I'm, pardon the pun, on board.
Hey, like, and Brian,
that will be a game that I purchase like relatively like close to launch date. Because again, I know what's in there, so hence I have reason to buy it.
Hey Brian, don't you generally buy games later because A, it's a better value, and B, you don't mind chewing through your backlog before you get to something? Like, isn't that pretty much the whole reason, the primary reason that you're not time sensitive on games?
Mixture of hype and DLC. I don't like getting caught in the hype, because it seems like when people do get caught in the hype, they tend to over exaggerate how great the game actually is. Hence, people always tend to say, "Oh, the game is great." Then, like months down the road, they don't see it as well as when they did. Hence, I can avoid all that nonsense. And two, DLC. Like, I'm not going to buy a game if it has DLC. Like, I want to buy the game once, and that's it.
So, like, when they do one of those year
game of the year nonsenses. Like, I guarantee you, they're going to have the same one for Spider-Man. Hence why I'm just going to wait. Like, cool.
Yeah, they will.
DLC, I'll wait.
So what I'm hearing is you're still affected when they announce a game 5 years ahead of when they actually release it, because you generally wait a little while. You kind of let a game ripen, right? So that's like saying, like, you know, why do you care when you buy some produce? You're just going to let it ripen anyway. Like, well, if it's a week late and then I have to let it ripen on top of that, then I'm going to be 9 days behind. So you're still affected the same way, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
I think that was his whole point. It was like, you know, well, if you don't buy them on launch day, then you're not affected the same way everybody else is when they announce a game way too early. I'm like, no, he still is. That was it.
Yeah.
All right. Hold on. Yeah. You know what? Fuck it. Because I'm going to be that asshole right now. I'm not doing this. This is a sincere question. Because Brian, you know, obviously you're free to do what you want, but I'm having a hard time understanding why you are impacted by this if you don't buy games day one. Understand? Like, okay, since you're
not gonna buy it when it comes out on a release date anyway, then what do you care?
Exactly. So that's the part I'm having a hard, like, if you're not getting the game day one anyway, why do you care about the hype?
Oh, I have a better question. What was the last game that you bought that was a day one?
I got a better question. How is Gamora?
I think
we stumped Brian.
Damn.
He's trying to figure out
the exact one. I think it may have been Watch Dogs.
Damn.
The first one?
Yeah, the first one.
Beginning of the generation.
Shit, that was like 1987. That was a long time ago, man.
That was a tech demo game.
Damn right for the NES. Shit.
Barry almost made me spit up my drink. Senran Kagura.
That was on launch date.
You shouldn't be cursing on the show like that. Family friendly, boy. Wow. Family friendly.
Yeah, it may have been Watch Dogs because everything else. Well, I think after Watch Dogs is when I started like just buying games after launch. But it's like, hey, the stuff that you talked about isn't here. You know, like there's none of the stuff that you had given me the expectations for is not promised. So I think that's where the whole thing just came from. It's like, I expected something because you had mentioned it. Now it's not here. I'm not going to buy into your product.
All right. No, I understand. I'm just having a little bit of a hard time understanding why you care about that if you're not getting the game day one. But, you know, maybe I don't need to understand it, you know?
As I said, it's that and the idea of, like, everyone getting hype for the damn thing and then them blowing it out of proportion. Like what you guys did with The Order. You guys said, you were talking about how great the game was, and I was like, doesn't seem all that great to me. And then now that you guys have turned around and called it a tech demo, which is what I called it
before. But we always said it was a tech demo.
I never said that was a great game.
Yeah, no, he's talking about me, Chris, and me specifically. Yeah, and Brian, what did I say? Go ahead.
We had the conversation and I called it a tech demo and you said that I was being unfair. And I was like, no, I'm not being unfair. Like, it looks like a tech demo.
You said it's just a tech demo. I said the game is a tech demo plus an actual game. You know, look, I said Heavenly Sword, that's a tech demo game, but it's still a game too, you know?
No, I still say that this is not the conversation that we had. Like, I said that game looks like they took a tech demo and then they stretched it out. And you said that I was being unfair.
Well, you were being unfair, you know? No, because the game is...
Then that's literally what they did. Like,
I don't agree with that statement. I don't agree with that statement.
Into a game, hence why it was, like, not that long. Because they didn't have enough substance to fill out a decently sized game. They said, hey, you know, we have this idea, let's try and put stuff in there, and then just kind of like run out of steam, and hence we got The Order. Like, that's literally what I said, and that's what I said, like, this is why I have a problem with the game length being like 5 hours long, because it feels like they just had a tech demo and then said, hey, let's try and stretch this into a full game, and they just couldn't do it.
Okay, yeah, that's the conversation we had, but I just because the game, you know, I disagree with that, by the way. I still think it's an actual game. It could have used a little bit more. Like, again, my biggest problem was that fucking last boss. I'm like, really, you're just recycling the same shit? But other than that, the game was really good, you know? Definitely good, but, you know, it's still a tech demo-y game, just like Heavenly Sword is a tech demo-y game. You know, just like Knack is a tech demo-y game. You know what I'm saying? Just like Portal's a tech demo-y game. It's a tech demo. We're using it in two different, ways here. You know, your way you're using it is like, okay, that's it. It's just a fucking tech demo. That's it. You know, I'm saying, no, this is a game that showcases tech, therefore tech demo. Understand?
Yeah.
What I'm saying is my statements before are not inconsistent with what I said before. You know, like my statements from before are consistent with what they are now. I still like the game. I still think, you know, I wouldn't say it's a great fucking game because better games came out. But at the time, it was definitely, I did consider it a great game, but obviously better games came out. So, you know, it kind of goes down the rung, you know, but I still like the, you know, I still think they, you know, they had a lot of opportunity in there. I will give it, that's one of my other criticisms. The game had a lot of opportunity to go really crazy and they didn't, but just to say it's nothing more than a tech demo, that is unfair.
I still think it is.
Okay,
maybe my mind will change once I play it in due time, but at this point.
Wait, you never played it?
No, I never played it. It's in the backlog.
It's so cheap now. It's not even like it almost just.
It was like $5 not too long ago.
It's not enough for Brian. Hey, Brian.
You could finish that game in a day.
By the way,
I said it's in the backlog. Like, it's literally there in purchase backlog. Just need to get around to it.
Yeah, Brian, Glorious One wants to know, what do you think about the reverse of hype? People who downplay games all the time.
Downplay how so?
Okay, I guess he needs to answer that. But he's saying that game, you know, like, people who, like, you know, think, oh, yeah, the game's actually not that good. I think he's talking about, he's underhandedly talking about you, by the way. I'm just being real right now, you know.
I find that interesting stance to take. Because it seems like people are very happy to be excited for a game before launch, but people that aren't excited for a game before launch, they seem to be cast as the other or the people that don't know. So yeah. I do find that how.
Well, that's like that.
By the way, Brian, he goes, you were very critical of God of War before he came out. Kratos can't jump, you know that, and I don't know about the jumping part. You were critical of it.
I was critical of the game because I'm a fan of the God of War games, and I like that type
of
gameplay.
It's not my God of War. He's quoting you right now.
Oh, yeah. Just hear me out. I'm a fan of that style of gameplay, and that style of gameplay is much all but dead. The only thing that has that is Bayonetta. That's it. Yes, Devil May Cry counts, but that wasn't announced when we're talking about God of War. But hence, God of War was like one of the last bastions of that gameplay style. And how many games have we heard called God of War style games back then? It's like, oh yeah, this game is like God of War, but with this game is like God of War with that. It was the staple point for that type of gameplay. And then they changed it for obvious reasons. So hence, I was like, okay, I don't think I like this. Because again, it was a staple point that did something really well that other people copied, and then they decided to change it for some odd reason. I don't see how that was me being critical. That was just me being confused as to why. Like Infinity Ward or Call of Duty just changing how the gameplay works after how many years of people just copying that gameplay style. It didn't make much sense to me.
Right. Anyway, any other thoughts on the question about hype culture hurting or helping the industry?
I think it does more hurt than anything, purely because of expectations. Because how many times have you heard people say that they didn't like a game because it wasn't what they expected? You know, it's like, oh yeah, it's good, but it's not what I expected, or I expected more, or I expected this. And I think that is a symptom of people getting hyped for that game that they had described and it not delivering.
Yeah, it's funny with me and hype, right? Like, I'm a little bit of a different person when it comes to that sort of stuff. Like, I don't really get overly excited with things. So, I mean, it's like, you know, when you see this big announcement, it's like, yeah, it looks good. You know, I'll wait till the game comes out and to really make that sort of decision, you know?
Yeah, I think it's got to be in moderation, because hype is mm-hmm. good if done correctly. Because it is fun, like with Spider-Man, everybody was hyped for the game comes out, mm-hmm. you know, and you get caught up in it. That's a lot of fun. That's half the fun right there. But, you know, that game obviously deserved it. There's some of the games that you get that type of hype, like Destiny, that don't end up deserving it, you know? So it's a balance, because it needs to be the right game with the right amount of hype behind it, you know?
Yeah, like it's like, you know, like for Destiny, it's like the pedigree was the more of the hype, you know?
Yeah.
Was the, oh, you know,
Bungie,
you know, the first party Microsoft Studios now making a thing on its own. What are they going to do?
Shit, man. Every time I think of hype, I think of Halo 3 when they shut down a few blocks over in Manhattan at Best Buy, and they had a Master Chief on a Warhog and a whole platoon following him mm-hmm. going down the street to Best Buy for the midnight launch, and he handed the first copy. That's like super hyped. Like mm-hmm. everyone gets hyped when you see something like that.
Yeah, I like that. So remember, old school right now, Sonic Tuesday, remember that shit? That's thing in you know, Times Square and stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. Like people,
they come out on Tuesdays.
Yeah, exactly. That's the reason we started getting games on Tuesday. Before that, games just dropped when they dropped, you know? No hype behind it. Remember that back in the day?
Now we're back to that, if you think about it.
Yeah, that is true. Because, yeah, like, remember back in the day, Sonic and Mortal Kombat were like the first two big games that got hyped, you know? Mm-hmm. Other games just fucking dropped before, you know? You know, you go to the store, like, oh shit, they got that? Fuck. They got another Mega Man?
or Dreamcast 9999.
That was hype, yeah. With Dreamcast, we were already in the hype culture, though. You know, like we're already deep into it. You know, go ahead.
I feel like a game, if it was considered like a big deal that they were going to hype, that meant that it had a full spread in a comic book. If I saw a full spread, that means shit, they have a lot of money behind Metal Gear. I always remember it was the back of like an Adam Warlock.
Is that white thing?
Yeah, white with gear up. Just showing you all the gear. I'm like, oh my God. I started farting. I'm like, I need this game. That was awesome. I'm like, gear I'm going to have a box. I'm going to have goggles and missiles. This is all. I could not wait to get that damn game. By Ultra. Yes.
Yes.
Hold on. A glorious war, Ben. All I'm saying is if you really want to debate Brian, we can make that happen. I'm just saying. Because he said,
Brian's stance on this.
He said, if he was on the podcast, it'd be World War III. We could make that happen, bro.
Come on the podcast. You know what?
Shit.
You know the time. You know the place.
Damn.
1-800-223 throwdown.
We can devote a portion of an episode to this. Just this thing. We've in fact done whole episodes that are just devoted to that.
Yeah, man. I'm just saying.
The Rocky music. Ding, 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 ding.
Hey, listen, we could talk, man. We could make that happen. That's all I'm saying, you know. Oh, man. Just don't turn out to be like motherfucking other Zinc, please, man. Please.
Oh, God.
People still talk about that episode, man. That was ridiculous. Yeah. Anyway, I think that's it for us this week, man. Good stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff. I felt like I was going to say something. Oh, yeah. On Thursday, we're going to be giving you away copies or digital codes for Vermintide 2. So come through and we'll figure out what we're going to do. We're going to give them away. And then as for the contest that we have with Spawn on Me, we'll iron those details out and keep you updated. All I can tell you right now is it's going to be a $60 game tops. We ain't buying you no special edition or nothing like that. You know, yeah. We ain't got that kind of money. Fuck that. You know, I know the Spawn on Me guys are ballers now, but ain't balling like that. Oh man. All right, guys. So thank you for watching and listening. Leave us your questions in the comment section of this episode on YouTube or over on the Coalition, and we'll answer them on next week's show. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco, joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
Adam Vale.
Have a good week, people.
And Brian Monjoma.
Apparently, all the Metal Gear games take place in 2008 or before. So hence, technically speaking, we're now ahead of the franchise?
Yes.
Manny, is that true?
Yep, we are ahead of the franchise.
Damn.
We're also in the same year Akira took place, 2019.
The last
Blade Runner.
Metal Gear Rising is the one that was the most in the future. But yeah, we've passed all of the Metal Gear games that have been now.
Crazy, man. The future. All right, guys, we'll see you on Thursday, man. Later.
Later, guys.